and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. In the preliminary results of PKR's leadership elections are in. This is for the 2022 to 2025 term, and they point to significant changes within the party. Most telling is Rafizi Ramli's victory over Saifuddin Nasution for the position of deputy president. Now, will this result and others mean a new direction for a party that has been split by defections and deep divisions? Our first guest tonight is MP for Sitiawangsa Nik Nazmi, Nik Ahmad. He is one of the four incoming vice presidents for PKR. Nazmi, first off, congratulations to you. But to kick off our conversation tonight, I'd like to take a look at the voter turnout, the low voter turnout. I mean, PKR has more than a million members, but only, less than 13%, that's 13%, turned out to vote in the party elections. Now, what does this low turnout reflect to you?
Hi, thanks, Melissa and Sharad. Obviously, it's something that we have to work on. And we do have to find a way to ensure that we can get a better turnout so that, you know, the 1 million membership that we have is truly meaningful. That's something that we have to reflect on. But at the same time, you also have to realize that unlike other parties, Keadilan is the only major national party in Malaysia that has, one, it's quite easy to become a member. And secondly, we implement a one member, one vote policy for selecting national leaders, the main national leaders. So as a result, you know, it's an enormous process. And this is the first time that we're doing it in a hybrid way where people who could register on the app and vote using the app or to do it physically. So, you know, it was a new system and as you rightly said, it came from the back of a few by-election defeats. But generally, I mean, you know, we are talking about something that is the closest thing that we have in Malaysia to a primary that you see in the US. And it's about, you know, making it easy for people to participate in the system and having one member, one vote and all that. And obviously, through that process, with such a large number eligible, you won't have everyone participating.
Nazmi, is there a downtrend in terms of a membership involvement or is this an anomaly?
If I'm not mistaken, I have to relook at the numbers, but from the first glance, in terms of absolute numbers, there has been an increase. But previously, I think our membership was about 800,000 in 2018. So percentage-wise, we did have a higher number in 2018 compared to 2022. Obviously, the mood is a bit different. 2018 was, just after our historic victory. People were very excited. People also, there were those who came in for various motives and reasons, the fact that we were part of the federal government, so on and so forth, and, you know, providing the next prime minister at that time. So that mood was certainly different than it was today. Today it was more of the party faithful, those who probably were more, you know, the diehards of the party, and that reflected in the lower percentage.
Right. Nazmi, right. If I could just kind of follow up on that. There's some disputes, especially from losers, unsurprisingly. But there's, along with it, a certain rancor. There's a tone that's taken by some senior members of the party, attacking the party, its mechanism. And I wonder about the optics of this, because it plays out for us who are not party members, who just watch from outside, something of the same bitter, fractious nature of PKR, the factionalism that led to the Sheraton move and so on and so forth. What do you make of party members seeming to care nothing for the public display of rancor over this elections?
Well, first, I agree. I mean, I think that we have to bear in mind that the public is watching, and obviously our focus should be on the general elections. But having said that, what we have to realize is that one is that this is the first time that we're doing.
No other party is doing that. And hopefully, once people really get used to this, we can turn out and all those things. But secondly, in the history of Keadilan elections, this is quite mild. We saw 2010, Zaid Ibrahim versus Azbin, right? 2014, Tan Sri Khalid, Saifuddin and Azbin, where we saw Tan Sri Khalid being sacked. And then 2018, Azmin shooting Rafizi, but ironically this time it was the victor, Azmin, who eventually left party. So I don't, immediately, even before the results were sort of clear, Saifuddin came out with a concession, a statement conceding defeat and congratulating Rafizi, Lee Kang and myself, and he sent a personal message as well to me at that time. And Rafizi responded the next day as well, saying that people were trying to talk up of a crisis between him and Saifuddin. Both of them were involved in Pemuda Keadilan in 1999. So he said, they didn't know them enough because they've gone through thick and thin. Right. So what I'm saying is that this is quite mild, relatively. And finally, that, everyone keeps talking about parties need to have democracy and all that. So this part and parcel of it, and if you look at the primaries in the UPS and party elections in the UK, something similar. It's just rare.
Okay. All right. Well, then can I ask you, if we were to focus on Rafizi's win, some commentators have pointed out that this could be seen as a referendum on Anwar, that those who voted for Rafizi was in fact voting against Anwar's leadership of Anwar's record of leadership of the party.
Okay. I think it's clear that no one challenged Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim for the presidency. I think that's very clear. The challenge, the contest was at the deputy presidency level.
And I don't see it as a vote against Anwar. It's a vote for Rafizi. Obviously, they have their different approaches. It's the different generation. But I think, it's something that eventually is very positive because I keep telling people, when I go on Grab, people know that I'm from Keadilan and they will ask when is Rafizi and Izzah going to make a comeback. So there's a lot of hope, not just among Keadilan voters or members, but also among the public at large for Rafizi to make a comeback. So I think this is something that's positive and it will actually strengthen the party going into the elections.
Okay, so when you say that it might strengthen the party, can I ask you what reforms or changes do you expect Rafizi to bring to PKR as deputy president?
One is generational perspective. Keadilan has always, put a lot of prominence to young leaders. Rafizi was vice president, strategic director, people like myself, we've been given prominent roles, Nurul Izzah, so on and so forth. This time around, Rafizi, he's the deputy president, the next in line, and he is 44 years old. The vice president, I'm 40, Lee Kang, also on Rafizi's sort of faction or camp. He is 42, and you have the MB of Selangor, who did not contest in Rafizi's faction, but he won. And he's only 42 as well. So, it's a very, very young lineup. So I think the approach will be different. And I think it will show that we are ready to go to the next level, that Keadilan is, at the end of the day, we should celebrate that we are Malaysia's most successful multiracial national party. And we should go back to our values to strengthen the party and Pakatan Harapan and win on that, rather than through any other approaches.
Yeah, well, Nazmi, there's also a question of strategy. Values, great. Strategy is the other thing which you express those values. Rafizi, because correct me if I'm wrong, is the author of the failed Kajang move. So his, his record as a strategist, some might dispute. But beyond that, observers have been talking about the big tent debate. And whether that took center stage, so not just the personalities, but the idea that Rafizi came very strongly against the big tent theory and strategy, and we had him on our show as well talking about it. Do you think the big intent weighed heavily on the minds of members when they voted?
Yeah, I mean, just before going to the Big Ten itself, you know, I think while, yeah, we can talk about the Kajang move as well, but we must not forget also 2018 elections where Rafizi and Invoke played a huge role in winning 42 out of 44 marginal seats, which contributed to the victory. Going to the Big Ten debate, yeah, I think that was, you know, really the focus. Because we saw that, you know, there were talks of this Big Ten approach, you know, since the Johor state elections. And I think the members, and Rafizi declared it from the beginning that this party election is a referendum on that. And the fact that he won with such a big margin, it's not just about Rafizi, the person, but it's also about rejecting that approach. And I think, you know, because I think at the end of the day, you know, Keadilan and a lot of the people have gone through so many things, you know, throughout this 23 years since Reformasi. So they are looking at something that they can really value and also win by remaining true to our values. And it's not something impossible because, you know, we believe that there is that majority
right.
who wants something different.
Okay. Rafizi, Nazmi, in the last minute or so that we have left, can I ask you, I mean, you as one of the four incoming vice presidents, how are you going to heal the deep division within the party, the divisions of the factionisms within the party? Talk about unity, but what will you do to make this happen?
I mean, definitely Rafizi's camp won many positions, important positions in the party, but it was not a total sweep. We have Amiruddin among the vice presidents. We have Adam Adli for the Angkatan Muda. So I think that the fact that it's a mixed thing generally means that that creates a starting point for unity. And again, you know, I think that this is much milder. This really is a contest among comrades as opposed to fighting Azmin in the past. So, you know, if, you know, the fact that we accept that the members voted for against the Big Ten strategy, and if people are willing to accept that, no matter which team they supported in the party elections, then I think we can unite and have a successful elections in GE15.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Nick Nazmi, Nick Ahmad, incoming vice president for PKR. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We will be back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, thanks so much for staying with Shraddha and I on Consider This. We're discussing the results of the PKR party polls and what it means for PKR's internal dynamics and how it might impact the party's relationship within Pakatan Harapan and its voter base. Joining us now is Associate Professor Dr. Hamidin Hamid, political analyst at University Malaya. Hamidin, Anwar Ibrahim maintained his hold on the presidency without contest, but many around him or many of those that were closest to him had lost. And I'm just wondering what you think this election result reflected about his support within the party.
Thank you, Melissa. I think with the victory of Rafizi Ramli in the last PKR elections, clearly indicate that the time is up for Anwar. Despite his undeclared support for Saifuddin and other members of Saifuddin group, it is obvious that Rafizi managed to convince people that he can bring a new direction to the party. And above all, I think it is a very much a clear sign that the new wave of PKR membership is coming and holding to power, especially the young Turks within the PKR. With that, I do believe that Anwar have to really think deep and strategically must be really put himself in the position where he can exit in the high manners from the PKR presidency. Because I do think that it's going to be a big of clash between him and Rafizi if no compromise being achieved between the two, especially in regard to Anwar leaving the party.
Hamidin, there are people who, you know, will argue that that the kind of factionalism that we see in PKR, the sometimes extraordinarily uncivil attitude party members take towards each other, is actually just an expression of democracy, that it's an extraordinarily democratic party, and therefore things get a bit messy. But when you look at the culture of a PKR, what does that tell you about the possibility to achieve the kind of aims that they say they want to achieve? Unifying after a very divisive party election, creating succession within the party for all the members like Anwar Ibrahim to, while they were founders, the founder members, to step aside in the interest of the party and their voter base. Is that all possible, or is PKR no different from most other parties in Malaysia, with older leaders hanging on for dear life?
Thank you, Shah. I think that's a very good and valid question in regard to the context of what is happening now. Because most of the people see that it is a transition of power from Anwar to Rafizi, when Rafizi got chosen as the deputy president. However, as you clearly indicate just now, there is a culture in PKR where factionalism is very much there. And if you look at the history of election in PKR, they always come up with the factionalism, and the worst is 2018. So in fact, historically, PKR was never really tested when it comes to give a very much clear transition between one leader to another, because Anwar Ibrahim is a founder and he's still the president. And I think now everybody is waiting on that regard. So I think this is the biggest challenge for Anwar and Rafizi Ramli. To what extent that will give create more factionalism, or even, I think, split within the PKR, I do believe that we have to wait until June when PKR will announce, for example, who will sit in the Central Committee and the president who have the power to announce appointment of the new vice president. Remember, in 2018, it was really a blowout after the PKR assembly in Melaka that I think create what we know as Sheraton move, despite Azmin managed to maintain the deputy president. And he was not happy because Anwar still appoint Rafizi Ramli as a vice president then. So we have to wait and see what is the next step as a president of PKR to make sure that there is going to be a smooth transition. But above all, I do believe it is about time for PKR to really show that their maturity in upholding the democratic process and be matured as a party.
Can I ask you about, say, the dynamics between Anwar Ibrahim and Rafizi Ramli? I mean, a lot of focus has been put to the fact that they have kind of different perspectives or strategies when it comes to the big tent approach, or the term that's being used for Anwar's strategy or preference to unite all opposition parties against Barisan Nasional, Rafizi being against the idea. Who would have to change? What do you think will happen in this respect? Or will it create even more division within the party?
I think it's not just about the idea, Melissa, that I think we create a lot of this relationship between PKR and maybe PH member in the future. I think the approach also, Rafizi is very much clear, very hard line in his approach to certain matters, and Anwar always known as a cooperative guy. So with that, I do believe the hard lines that always taken by Rafizi will create, definitely will stir some feather in relationship, not only within PKR, but also with other party with PH. And it's not only about the Big Ten, but I think how can you convince others, what type of approach that you want to do. This is where negotiation always be the best place, in my point of view, in regard to multiple party that we are practicing here in Malaysia. So with the hard line that been taken by Rafizi, I do believe that will create a lot more unhappiness among the leadership of PH, which in my point of view, some of them already clearly indicate that they have preferred the Big Ten approach to make sure that they covered as many segments of society and voters in the next coming election.
Hamid, to what extent do you think Anwar, who obviously wasn't in any contest in this particular round, is is marred by the impression that this is a man who sees very few years left, very few opportunities left for him to become prime minister, a personal ambition of his, and that the party is subservient to his personal desires to one day take that position. Is that a fair assessment of the man?
To some extent, it is, Sharad, in my point of view. Because if you can see that before this, it is a very much the first choice of a PKR in any negotiation with any party that to make sure that Anwar Ibrahim will become the prime minister. There'll always be the first card that we throw to the table. And with that, to very much to fulfill Anwar Ibrahim's dream to become a prime minister. But obviously, Rafizi came to the picture after 2 years of a holiday, I assume. I think, so we can see that it's clearly saying that, no, we are not going to do that. We have to wait another two or three. We have to strengthen the party, which I think that's very much true. A lot of spanner to Anwar Ibrahim, not only dream, but also some of the people who work around him that managed to build the myth that it is about time for him to become a prime minister. We can hear that myth every time general election, every time election. Anwar Ibrahim is always there. I think for the survey poll, always his name will be on top three. We've been pushed to make sure that to remind people that he is the best candidate to the for the Malaysian Prime Minister.
Right.
So with that, I think what Rapizi did and the winning, the Rapizi victory clearly indicate that the party now willing to take a different approach and to appoint different people to lead the party and direction of the party.
Okay, that's interesting because, Hamidin, you said a bit earlier that Rafizi's win might ruffle some feathers within Pakatan Harapan. I'm wondering whether this is the beginning of perhaps the end of Pakatan Harapan as a coalition. What do you see? I mean, is that even a possibility? Will Rafizi strengthen the Pakatan Harapan coalition?
I think the more powerful Rafizi become in the PKR, in my point of view, is going to be a more problem for Pakatan Harapan to maintain the existing collaboration between them. Obviously, I think it is very obvious. Rafizi and his group believe that PKR even can go solo or strengthen the PH as it is. But I think what some of the PH leaders also realize that they cannot rely on what they're having now, because it was clearly, I think you can see from the Malacca, from the Johor, and then many other elections that clearly indicate that it's not enough. They're losing tremendously of the Malay support, and PKR, even though a multi-racial party, but very much failed to gain Malay support, which is the biggest chunk of the voters in the country. So with that, I think that's why the ideas of Big Ten were proposed by certain leaders in PH to make sure that they can cover the segment of the voters that they are losing now. So with Rafizi approach, we are not sure yet what is his approach or his strategy to strengthen the internal mechanism or internal cooperation within the PH to make sure that they will gain voters that they lost in Malacca and in Johor. But obviously, I do believe structurally, PH do need others, a party, to make sure that they can cover as many ground as they can and to reach as many voters as they can to make sure that they get back in power as soon as possible.
Okay, Hamidin, let's get back to the party itself. You know, was this a demonstration of, you know, what a truly democratic party might look like? And, you know, or is it, and if you could help us understand, the culture, because the factionalism is not unique to PKR. I mean, all the political parties, major parties, and in fact, one would say that PKR is, in some ways, a product of factionalism within UMNO and so on and so forth, right? So what do you sense? We talked about maturing politics. What do you think is still happening within political parties in Malaysia? Do you see any chance for political parties to evolve to, at least by your own yardstick, a much more mature outlook and practice?
Okay, thank you, sir. I think what PKR achieved actually is a big thing in Malaysian politics when he empowered every members, the one vote and one member's approach, which I think no party dare to do that. And that is, in my point of view, one of the good things when it comes to the PR. However, I'm not saying only talking about maturity in the Malaysian politics, but also the culture. This is where, in my point of view, PR is much more advanced in that sense, while the political culture in Malaysia is totally different. As you said just now, factionalism, not necessarily a bad thing. I think we know that in Malaysia, normally factionalism will always be associated with personality, and that culture of personality always be there in Malaysia politics. PKR also no different compared to other political party, Rafizi, Saifuddin. In fact, if you ask me, why Saifuddin, one of the thing why Saifuddin was not considered favourite, because he is not a personality that very much represent a PKR in many sense, but Rafizi do, in my point of view, create that kind of persona that he is PKR and he is the future of PKR. So with that, I do believe PKR will create a good thing. However, a lot more to be done, especially in terms of political literacy, political advocacy within the Malaysian political party, which, in my point of view, is important for political party to teach their own members their own right. I think this is why my concern about PKR election is the low turnout. It's very much saying that, okay, you can bring in the new changes, but if your own people doesn't really appreciate, they have no idea that they have that power, it's no point for you to bring that to some extent. But so this is where political party must be open, I think, create a lot more opportunity for the members, educate them, advocacy, to teach them about the role and responsibility as party member.
Hamidin, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Political analyst Hamidin Hamid there. And that wraps up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.
Good night.